Hey friends, I'm back in the car again, driving. Hopefully you can hear me okay. If not, I'll just record these episodes, whatever. So I've been thinking today about some experiences I've had as a music therapist throughout my career. So I just celebrated 10 years in this profession. I can't remember the exact date, but what I do know is that I was able to be recertified. So gathered up all my credits, put it all into the CBMT website, which if you need help figuring that out, let me know. I'm going to put up a resource on my website for you. Because the website itself can just be like really tricky. So I want to make it easy for all of us. But yeah, I've been in this thing for a while. In this thing meaning music therapy, doing this beautiful work, and been through a lot of challenges, been through a lot of joyful moments, had some heartache and some difficulties, but also had so many beautiful, magical, musical moments. And that phrase is coined by my husband. So I've been thinking about these moments when people approach me and they say, like, you're the best therapist I've ever worked with, or the best music therapist I've ever seen, or there's something special about you, or, you know, something is different about you. And while I want to just pat myself on the back and say, yeah, I'm great, I'm the best, I also really enjoy picking that apart and seeing, you know, what are they recognizing? What are people picking up on? When they say these things, when they see me work and they see something different. And what I've boiled it down to is this idea of presence. And it's something that's so simple and yet so profound. It's maybe a personality trait, but also a skill. And so because I see it in these different ways, I wanted to share it with you, and maybe you can think about this in your life or in your work, how you can be more present, how you can work with more presence, how you can be in the moment even more in your work. Turn this down for a second. I'm just about at my destination, which is home. So presence. So when I think about presence, I think about certain people I've worked with and the level of care that they've needed. So they've needed someone who recognizes what they recognize, someone who is aware of what they are feeling at a given moment. And I think this is something that we as music therapists are taught, and maybe some of us are better at it than others, or maybe presence is easier or more applicable with certain people that we work with. I don't know. But I find myself in my sessions watching people's breath. I want to see if they are breathing rapidly or if they look calm. I also recognize people's moments. I mean, moments, not moments. Movements. I recognize people's movements. So their body movements. Are they tense? Are they relaxed? Are they fidgety? Are they still? And then I am aware of what people are saying and where people are looking. So do I have this person's eye contact? Are they looking at me? Are they connected with me? Or are they looking out the window? Are they talking about the things that they see outside? Or is what they're saying nonsensical? Or can I hear some sort of inflection in their voice? And I take all of these things, it's kind of like the five senses of presence or five senses of awareness. and I roll with it. So if someone is looking outside, I look outside too. And I say, what do you see? Or if while we're both looking outside, there's a bird that glides across, you know, by the house or by the window, I say, wow, did you see that bird? That was beautiful. Or if we're looking outside and the skies are dark and gray, I say, man, those skies are gray and dark. I wonder if it's going to rain. So there's it's just these little things that I do to bring that presence into the moment and my awareness of this person and what they're doing and where their attention is. And inevitably, because I work with folks with dementia, they are on to the next topic within just a few minutes or a few seconds even. So they're looking out the window, we're talking about the birds, and then they look at the table and there's a card. And so then I notice them looking at that and I say, oh, wow, someone gave you a card. That's so sweet. And maybe we pick up the card and look at it together. Or maybe I notice them closing their eyes and I say, wow, you look really comfortable right now. You closed your eyes. Are you sleepy today? Looks like you're comfortable. I just roll with wherever they are going. And I feel like it's all about validation. So validating where they are, what they're doing, what they're seeing, what they're hearing. And then supporting them in those moments or through those moments or with those moments. So I had someone that I worked with today who is a hospice patient, and she was in a lot of pain. And this was the second time I had visited her. And the first time she declined the visit, she just didn't want a visit from anyone. She just wanted to sleep, and she didn't want any background music or any noise or anything. She just wanted to sit in peace and quiet. And so today when I visited her, she was in pain, and I'm like, oh no, I'm thinking in my head like, oh no, she's not going to let me in. And I said, oh, your daughter and the team, they sent me to visit with you. My name's Kim. And I sat down. And I asked her how she was. She said she was in pain. I'm like, oh man, that's so tough. I'm sorry that you're in pain. And I checked in about if she had any pain medication or anything like that. And then I said, you know, if you want, I can play some songs for you. I don't have to stay long. But sometimes music gives us a good thing to think about or keep our mind on so that we're not so focused on the pain. And she's like, oh, okay, you know, maybe just a couple songs. And so I'm like, okay, yes, we're in. So I sit down, I play some old country western tunes because that's what her daughter had told me she likes. And I play slow and relaxing songs because it seems like the moment warranted that. It seemed like she could have benefited from something soothing and relaxing and soft and, you know, matching how she wanted to feel. And so I play, and at the first in the beginning, like at the beginning of the session, she was moaning out of pain. Like that's how bad it was. And I start singing and then she stops moaning. And then I see, you know, at the beginning of the session, she was fidgeting and moving and just so uncomfortable. And then I see her stop and feel really calm and comfortable. I'm recording a podcast episode.
Oh,
I don't know if it's going to work in the car. Thanks, babe. I'll see you in a few minutes. Thanks. And so her body was evidently more comfortable. And it was just, it was just a beautiful moment. And then I do another one. And it's the same thing. She closes her eyes. She looks comfortable. I'm singing a country song. And then after that, I checked in. I'm like, you know, how are you feeling? Is the pain the same? She said it was. And then I said, do you want me to play another song? And she's like, maybe a couple more. So then I play a couple more. And in between, we're talking here and there. And she's expressing to me how frustrated she is at life. You know, she's an older adult. She's in pain. And she's in this nursing home. She does not want to be there. She's not comfortable. None of her friends are nearby. It's just like a crappy situation. So as she's saying all these things, I'm validating every single thing she's saying. I'm like, oh, man, that is so tough. And she's like, yeah, this and that and this and that. It's so hard. I'm like, wow, this must be really difficult for you. What a big transition. And she's like, yeah, this is just not me. So I inquired about that. And she told me, you know, this is not me. I keep myself busy. I'm always doing something. And now I'm just sitting in this chair. So we're talking. And then she talks about her friends and trying to reach them on the phone, but it's so much work and they're playing phone tag. I'm like, yeah, that's got to be tough. And she's like, and it's not my personality to always reach out to people. I'm like, yeah, so it's hard to know what to do these days. You feel kind of lonely. It's really tough. And so I play another song or two. And we keep talking. She tells me about her family. She tells me about her life. And then she again tells me about her frustrations. And I was just with her through all of these moments. I didn't feel the need to push music on her or, you know, push her into a place she didn't want to go with the conversation. You know, I just took her lead. And It was really neat because at the beginning she just said, oh, just a couple songs. And then it wound up being like 4, 5, or 6 songs. And I thought I would just stay there for like maybe 10 minutes. And I was there for like a good half an hour. And then I called her daughter afterward and told her how it went, what she brought up. And she's like, wow. Even just you getting in there, that's a huge deal. That's a big deal that she let you in there and she accepted your visit and she listened to some songs. And so that was really cool to hear because there was more to the story than I even knew. I didn't know that she wasn't really accepting visitors and that she was kind of stubborn and wouldn't let people in. But I sank down into presence, and it's almost like I'm connecting with the presence of another person. You know, what are they feeling right now? Let me mirror that back to them. Let me reflect or show them what they're feeling so that they know that they're being heard, they're not alone, and that people care. And at the end of the session, this person thanked me for the visit, and she was open to me coming back. Yes. So I guess those are just a couple examples of presence and how we can be in tune with the people we work with and recognizing what they're feeling or thinking or where their mind is going, and go with them, go there with them. And those moments of presence can make such a huge difference. It really can make the difference between receiving care and not receiving care. Because if someone doesn't feel that relationship, that care, that presence, they're not going to welcome you back. Or they might not welcome you back as easily. And, you know, for me with that first person, they may have not signed up for private music therapy sessions if they hadn't had that experience. So this is just a little example of being aware of how you are with people and how you can be more still and calm, aware of yourself and of the other people. I know it can be so much to think about at once because you're like, what song do I want to do? Oh my gosh, this is a new person. I'm like anxious and nervous, and what's going to happen and how are they going to react? And oh my gosh, there's a nurse over there, or these people are watching me. There's like so many thoughts going on at the same time. So it can be really hard to just sink down into your chair, notice your feet on the floor, and be present in the moment. You know, see yourself as the expert in caring for this person. And how can you be there with them? So, just another little short episode talking about presence. And yeah, I hope you all are well and benefiting from hearing these little stories and these episodes. Feel free to leave a review or star or rate, whatever the heck it is on this podcast. As you might hear from other podcasters, it helps other people to find it. And you know what? Better yet, find a music therapy buddy and either listen to this podcast with them, or if you don't spend time together, tell them about it. Say like, oh yeah, this music therapist has a podcast. I enjoy listening to it, or it's really interesting. She's talking about musical therapists here. A little reference to the last episode. But yeah, I'm just so glad to be here with all of you. So hope you're well. I'll talk with you soon.